Yeah. Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. Oh, my God will never fail. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the victory, I'm gonna see you.
you this morning. Come on. Somebody give God a shout of praise. Lord, we bless you this morning. We give you all the honor and all the glory for everything done and said in this place. Anointing, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, flow and fill this room. In Jesus' name. Come on. I'll praise in the valley. Praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and I'll praise when I'm down. I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. Oh, 'cause praise is the water my enemies drown. As long as I'm breathing, because praise can change your situation. Worship can turn it all around. And I don't know about you, but I came to give my God all my praise. So I want you to sing it out with me. Come on. I'll praise because you're sovereign. I'll praise because you reign. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise because you're faithful. I'll praise because you're true. Praise because there's nobody. Do it again, come on.
I'll praise because you stopped. I'll praise because you reign. Praise because you rose and defeated the grave.
I'll praise because you're faithful.
I'll praise because you're true.
Praise because there's nobody better.
Honor you in this place, God. Yes, Lord.
Lord, Lord, we worship you. We bless your holy name. We thank you that you are the way maker, that you are a miracle worker. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord.
Is who you are.
Yeah.
Way darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Service, we'd like to invite our prayer partners forward. If you're in need of prayer this morning, we invite you. Don't be shy. We want to pray and agree with you in the name of Jesus.
Have you any rivers that you cannot cross? Have you any mountains that you cannot tunnel through? My God specializes in things impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. You can make a way where there is no way. Here we go. I know you will come through. This mountain is moving. I fix my eyes on you. If you said it, you'll do it. Because you are God, no matter the odds, the outcome is always the same. The words on the pages, the promise you made us, still have the final say. Come on, you will make a way, always make a way. You will make a way.
Nothing's too hard for you.
impossible's what you do. And I know you got this too. Impossible's what you do.
Come on and declare this to us.
And nothing's too hard for you. Impossible's what you do. Impossible's what you do.
One more time, sing it out from your heart. Come on.
Nothing's too hard for you. Impossible's what you do.
It's what you do, yeah.
I know you got this too. Impossible's what you do.
And you will make a way.
You always make a way.
Give him praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We believe you. We believe your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
In a world of uncertainties, I know that Jesus is mine. It's our blessed assurance, knowing that his blood is enough, his love is enough, his forgiveness is enough, and he's already overcome the world. We just have to walk in his footsteps. Here we go.
Blessed assurance.
Hey.
Jesus is mine. Been my fourth man in the fire time after time. I'm born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough.
Hey, glory.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the my risen King and Savior. Oh,
my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
And I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord. And He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. Oh,
I sought the Lord. And He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord. My Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God. Oh, my Savior, the one who will never fail. Never fail.
I wonder if this is anybody's testimony. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. Ooh, I feel God on that. Come on, sing that out, church. Come on. Hey.
I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered.
That's why I trust Him.
That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard. In God, whom my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail.
Everybody in this room, I want you to lift up the biggest shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I can testify to what we just sang. Anybody else agree with me? I can tell you of times where I haven't known what to do, and I've sought the Lord and He answered. I can tell you of times where we faced circumstances that they didn't look like there was a way, but He answered. You know, the Bible says that the promises of God are backed by His name, and He's a promise keeper. I want to tell you today that he's a promise keeper. If you read it and he said it, he'll do it for you. You can hold him to his word. It's backed by his name. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for every prayer I've prayed, every time I've sought the Lord and he's answered me. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful for a Savior. You know, Jesus has come to be our Savior, but encased in that word of saving us is he's our Redeemer. He's our Protector. He's our Deliverer. He is everything you could possibly need. It's all wrapped up in him. I'm so thankful for a body of believers gathering in this place today. You know, you think about I was reading the New Testament, I was reading in Corinthians, but you know, the church was born on Pentecost and the Holy Spirit was given. And from that point on, people began to gather in communities of believers. They gathered in communities to seek the Lord together, to call on the Holy Spirit, to pray for God to move on their behalf. And this is no different. We are one of these gatherings of believers. Amen. And I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for this church family. But I'm so thankful to God for the promises in his word, the promises of what he'll do, the promises that he's given us of eternity ahead of us. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. Keep our eyes on the prize. Amen. Praise God. Well, so good to see you in church this morning. Turn and greet someone and tell them you're glad to see them. Well, thank you to our worship team who do such a beautiful job of leading us into the presence of God. Amen. We're so thankful for each and every one of them. Each and every one of them. A welcome to those that are watching online, people watching from all around the world. We're so glad that you've joined us today. If you're watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from, on YouTube. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that this will minister to you. The Word of God will. The Word of God's going to be, I read through the notes. It's going to be so encouraging to you and so uplifting today. Amen. Everybody have a good July 4th weekend. That nice long weekend, nice long hot weekend. We went with Leo and Carol down to a new place to eat in West Palm Beach, and then we stood at the waterside in Palm Beach and watched those fireworks, and we live in paradise. Beautiful place to live, amen. But I hope you had some good time with your friends and family, and I want to welcome anyone who's visiting here for the first time today. Nice to see you back, Jack. Nice to see you. God bless you. Anyone here for the first time this morning, we'd just like to honor you and hand you something where you're seated. Welcome. God bless you. Come on, family. Let's be welcoming. We're glad you joined us today. I pray you hear a word, just what you need today from the Lord. And we ask you, there's a card that says guest. If you wouldn't mind just filling it out for us, and in a few moments an offering bucket will come by. Just drop that card in. Just Pastor would love to give you a call, find out how you enjoyed this service this morning. Reminder, we're going to pass the clipboard. Just fill your name in. It helps us pastorally. So thank you for doing that. And just a reminder to those watching online, the various ways that you can watch, and to people that are here that are traveling. We've got a lot of members that are on the road, Kentucky. We've got to have the Cartwrights, got to have their Kentucky trip. And so the people are going all over. But just a reminder that you can always watch online. You can watch on Facebook Live, Ascend Church. You can watch on YouTube. You can always watch those afterwards too. You can watch on our mobile app. I saw like 54 people watched this week on our mobile app. That's a great tool that we have. So these are all just tools. in a way to minister to you. So you can always watch on our website as well. So we're glad that you've joined us today. And at this time in the service, I'm going to receive the offering. I like to read a scripture, and as we have the opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And there are envelopes in the seat where you're sitting. If you're watching online, you can. There's various ways to give. It'll come up on the screen. Included in that is Zelle, which comes under the church email. And I just want to say that we are so thankful to the faithful tithers and givers in our church. Amen. So thankful that you support God's house the way you do. But we always like to read a scripture. To hear God's word concerning the subject of finances. And this is a message. I'm going to read a passage from Haggai, the book of Haggai. I bet that's not one you read very often, but it was a message from the Lord through Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel and Zerubbabel to Joshua and God's people. So this was a message from the Lord. And they had started building God's house, but then they had stopped for years, and they were just going about their everyday business. And it says in Haggai, verse 2, it says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says." So whenever you hear that God's speaking, it's a word that we need to listen to, right? He says, "These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says, give careful thought to your ways. Verse 6, you have planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on your clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in them." And verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says again, give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains in a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Verse 10, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. And so that's like quite a sobering thought. And twice God says, give careful thought to your ways. So he's addressing the people and he's talking to them. So apparently they were using famine, poverty, food shortages, inflation as an excuse not to pay attention to the house of God, right? And it's actually what God is actually saying to them is the shortages were a result of them not paying attention to the house of God, not the other way around. You know, sometimes we get so focused on what's going on around us or what we don't have or what we need that we forget God says give attention, give careful attention to your ways. And this is advice from him. So basically, he's saying to them, and it applies to us too, if we find we keep running short financially, plans don't work out, or it seems like we just can't get it ahead, let's give careful attention to our ways, right? But if we get our priorities in order, God fixes up those holes in our bag, right? And we don't find that we're leaking all the time. You don't find that the moment money comes in, then the car breaks down or then this happens. But he says, if you make my house a priority, then I'll take care of your house. Amen. And so today as we give, that's exactly what we're doing. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Make it your first priority. And when you do that, all these other things will come after you. That's the position we want to get in. Not going after the things, but going after the things of God. And let the natural things come after us. Amen? And so as you give today, tithing is always a demonstration of putting God first. It's always an honoring act before the Lord. It's something that proves that God is first in our life. So as we bring our tithes and our offerings, that's exactly what we're doing. We're turning our eyes on the kingdom of God, and we're saying, your kingdom come, your will be done before anything else. Amen. So thank you for your giving. We I'm going to pray right now. I thank God for the word, those promises. There are promises for every situation, and there are promises financially as well that we should hold on to. Amen. Father, I thank you for each and every person that gives into your kingdom today. Father, they give in response to out of obedience. They give out of love for you. They give out of love for your kingdom. And I thank you, Father, for the promises in your word that you will cause things to come after them. You will cause, Father, blessing and increase as your word promises, because you are Jehovah Jireh. I thank you, Father, for your hand of blessing upon each one. You know what everybody needs. Father, I thank you for just opening unusual doors of blessing to them. I thank you, Father, for increase in Jesus' name. And just as we go ahead and receive the offering, you can go ahead and do it. Michelle just told me a testimony. She's an English teacher in high school, and she said she made a decision in her mind. I hope you don't mind me sharing this. She made a decision in her mind that she wanted to give a certain amount. This is what she wants to be giving. And wouldn't you know it, the door just opened for a new position for her that is going to enable her to do exactly that. But I said to her, isn't it amazing? That, praise God, you know, that's like a step of faith. That's like saying, I should be tithing this much, but I want to be earning that much. And so I'm going to step out in faith and start tithing that much. And let me tell you, God will just come up and meet that need. And so we're so thankful for that blessing in your life right now. Amen. Well, as we get ready for the Word of God, I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. First one is that you would know God. Second one is that you would find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, you discover your purpose. And lastly, that we'd all make a difference with our lives. Amen? Amen.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to see you here today. Say, I'm glad to be in God's house today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to be sitting next to you today. Tell him you're looking good. How many of you are glad to be in God's house today? Glad to be in church? Well, I am too. It's the best way to start your week. Today is the start of your week, and we're starting out worshiping God and honoring God. And I'm so glad you all are here today. I know this. I wish everybody was here. It's hard during the summer to get everybody to be in church at the same time. Next week, some of you won't be here, and some of the people that weren't here today will be here next week. But I'm so glad that you were here today, because I have something that is really the Lord has put in my heart to share with you, and it's important for you and for our church. So I'm glad that you're here. We're going to pray and get right into God's Word, okay? Father, we thank you today that you are so good, Lord. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come to the earth, to die on that cross, to rescue us, to redeem us, to take our sin. We thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so much that you came to the earth and you laid your life down. Lord, we're so grateful. We're so thankful that we know you, that we've been born again, that we've been made children of God, that we've been made the righteousness of God, that you are our Father, Lord, and that we can trust you, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And Father, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here today. We need you, Holy Spirit, and we welcome you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing. Thank you for anointing your word today. Thank you that your anointing removes burdens from people today. Thank you that your anointing destroys yokes in people's lives. I take authority over all sickness and disease, and I command sickness to go from you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over all lack And I thank you, Father, that you supply all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. Thank you for stirring us up. Thank you that our faith rises up big today, Lord, and that we trust you no matter what, in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, shout amen, somebody. Well, this morning, I want to speak to you about the testing of your faith. And we're going to start out here in James chapter 1. I'm going to read a couple of verses from James chapter 1. We're going to read it from a few different translations, like five or six different translations. And starting out with the New International Version, it says this. It says, James 1 in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds.
What?
Did you hear that? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because the reason I can consider it pure joy when I face trials of any kind is because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Say mature. And complete, lacking nothing, not lacking anything. Now, the New Living Translation says it like this. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect or mature, complete, needing nothing. Can you believe this, what James is saying here? Whenever you face troubles, whenever you face trial, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Count it as pure joy. Is that what we all do? When we face trouble, difficulty, challenges, oh man, I'm so joyful about this. But that's what God says to do. In fact, the Message translation says, consider it a sheer gift. Friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides, consider it a sheer gift, for you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open, shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work, so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. He says, consider it a sheer gift whenever tests and challenges and trouble come at you. Consider it a sheer gift. What? A sheer gift? Yeah, when you get a trial, when you have some trouble, when you have some tribulation, consider it a sheer gift. What did you get me? I got you a trial. Boy, I can't wait to open it. What's it going to be? Struggle. Wow, what am I unwrapping? Suffering. Consider it a joy, pure joy when you face tests and trials. Why? Because you know that your faith is being tested, and the testing, the challenging of your faith produces endurance. It produces perseverance. And the Bible says, you see, the enemy is after your faith. I said, the enemy is after your faith. That's what it's all about. From the very moment that you received Jesus into your life, the enemy was out to test and try and steal your faith. You see, faith is like a muscle. Faith grows like your muscles grow. How many of you know how to get your muscles to grow? First of all, you got to feed them. If you want to be a, you know, Mr. Universe muscles, you got to feed them. You got to eat right. And secondly, you have to place resistance on your muscles. It's called resistance training, right, Tony? You've got to use some weight, some resistance. That's what causes your muscle to grow. And your faith is the same way. You got to feed your faith on the Word of God. And when resistance comes and you keep believing God, your faith gets stronger. And that's what causes your faith to grow and work in your life. Are you with me? Count it all joy, because you know that when your faith is tested, and when your faith encounters resistance, that is what causes your faith to grow and develop perseverance and endurance. And as your perseverance grows, the Bible says you will be mature. You will be complete. You will be lacking nothing. Can you say amen? Amen. Can I tell you, you cannot mature. You cannot reach spiritual maturity without your faith being tested. I wish I could tell you that you're never going to have any trials, you're never going to have any trouble, but that is not what the Bible said. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You cannot reach maturity without your faith being tested, without going through some trials, some trouble, some difficulty, some challenges. In fact, in the Amplified Version, it says, be assured that the testing of your faith produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking nothing. There is something that happens. Your faith gets stronger when you have trials, when you have challenges, when you have resistance, but you keep trusting God and you keep believing God and you count it all joy and you don't let the devil steal your joy. Your faith gets stronger. Can you say amen, somebody? In fact, the Passion Bible says this: my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and there is nothing lacking. Say amen, somebody. The Contemporary English Version says, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. You know you learn to endure by having your faith tested, but you must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking anything. How many people want to mature in the Lord? Wave your hand at me if you say, I want to grow. I want to mature. Say, mature me, Lord. Well, let me tell you, if you want to mature in the Lord, then you must remain joyful when your faith gets tested and realize that this test is all about my faith. Don't be surprised when you go through fiery trials as if something strange is happening to you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." There we have that joy again. And the New Living Translation says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in His suffering so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing His glory when it is revealed to all the world." The Message translation says, "Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion. Don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Even when I can't see it, He's working. Even when I can't feel it, He's working. He never stops. He never stops working." The Bible says, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job when life gets difficult. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Come on, somebody, say amen. In the very next chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter goes on. In verse 8, he says, "Be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. He prowls around like a hungry, roaring lion, looking for some victim to tear apart. Stand firm when he attacks and be strong in your faith. Trust the Lord and remember that other Christians all around the world are going through the same kind of sufferings too." You see, when you have trials and when you have difficulty, when you have challenges, sometimes you think you're the only one. "Lord, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong? I don't understand it." Understand nothing. It's not some strange thing happening to you, that there are believers all around the world that are facing challenges just like you. Amen. Amen. And in verse 10, it says, "After you've suffered a little while, our God, who is full of kindness through Christ, will give you His eternal glory. He will personally come and pick you up and set you firmly in place and make you stronger than ever before." The Passion Bible says, "Take a decisive stand against him. Resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith, for your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles that you endure. Now, when I have things that come against me, trying to steal my joy, I often am encouraged when I think about all that the Apostle Paul went through and all that he overcame." And you read about it in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Paul spoke about some of the stuff he went through. In verse 23, he said, "I have worked harder. I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped 5 times without number." Excuse me, "I've been whipped times without number. I've faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. 1 time, I was stoned. He was left for dead. 3 times, I was shipwrecked. 1 time, I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea." Just in case you think maybe your problems are bigger than anybody else's problems, Paul was whipped 5 times, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned, shipwrecked 3 times, put in prison more times than he could remember. He said, "I've traveled on long journeys. I've faced danger from rivers, from robbers. I've faced danger even from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I've faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, on the seas. I face danger from men who claim to be believers, but they are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Paul went through some things. What do you think? And yet he said in 2 Corinthians 7 verse 4, I am overwhelmed with joy despite all our troubles. Despite all these things, I am overwhelmed with joy. Count it all joy. Consider it pure joy. He said, I'm overwhelmed with joy. Do you know that you can have joy no matter what you're facing, no, when you're in the fire? Do you know that you can have the joy of the Lord no matter what's coming against you? The Apostle Paul wrote many of the scriptures in the Bible. He wrote them from a prison cell. Paul proves that you can keep your joy. Let me tell you, because joy is what helps you get through those tough times. Joy is what gives you strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10 says that do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, I will count it all joy. Say, no matter what comes against me, no matter what challenges, I choose to be joyful. I will count it all joy. You see, in the tough times, let me tell you, you need your joy. Joy gives you strength. That's why the enemy tries so hard to steal our joy. Philippians 4 verse 4, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. And if you read that from the New Living Translation, it says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. You see, rejoicing and being full of the joy of the Lord is the same thing. Always be full of joy. Rejoice always. The Passion Bible says, be cheerful with joyful celebration. In every season of life, let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. And then he goes on to say in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Be full of joy, always be full of joy, and don't worry about anything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for what you need. That's what the Scripture says. It's interesting that Paul, the Apostle Paul, he never prayed for people to be delivered from their problems. He prayed God would give them strength to go through them with a great attitude. Are you letting insignificant things steal your joy? You've got to keep it in perspective. That's not worth losing your joy over. Don't let some small insignificant thing steal your joy. In the Scripture, in Habakkuk, he said it like this in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. He said, even though the fig trees have no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, and even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, what am I going to do? Am I going to get depressed? Am I going to complain? Am I going to stop feeling sorry for myself? No, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. I will rejoice in the Lord. Say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. See, he was saying, everything's come against me. I've had some bad breaks. Business is down. My income is low. Surely that's a reason for me to be discouraged. But his attitude was, no, I'm not giving away my joy. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. And the word salvation means deliverance. And in if you read verse 18 from the New English translation, it says, I will rejoice because of the Lord. I will be happy because of the God who delivers me. Even when the trees are barren, even when there's no cattle, even when all these hard things are happening, I will rejoice in the Lord because He is the one who delivers me. The Message translation says, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. I'm counting on God's rule to prevail. See, when you stay full of joy, despite what comes against you, let me tell you, God says, if you'll count it all joy, salvation's coming, deliverance is coming, turnarounds are coming, healing is coming, increase is coming, victory is coming. That's why the Apostle James said, when trouble comes your way, consider it as an opportunity for great joy. Amen. I remember when I was still a new Christian and living in South Africa, and I remember when a preacher named Jerry Savelle, he came over to South Africa and he preached this message called, If Satan Can't Steal Your Joy, He Can't Keep Your Goods. And he used this scripture in Hebrews in chapter 10, where it says in verse 32, don't you remember those days right after the light shined in your hearts? You endured a great marathon season of suffering hardships, yet you stood your ground. You see, when you came to the Lord, when you received Jesus in your life, can I tell you, that's when the fight began. Because the enemy wants to try and get you to turn away from God. Because you're a threat to the enemy. He's after your faith. And verse 33 says, at times you were publicly and shamefully treated, being persecuted for your faith. You see, it's all about your faith. Then at other times you stood side by side with those who preach the message of hope. You sympathized with those in prison. And when all of your belongings were confiscated, you accepted that violation with joy. When all of your belongings were confiscated, you accepted it with joy, convinced that you possess a treasure growing in heaven that could never be taken from you. So don't lose your bold, courageous faith, for you are destined for a great reward. Say, I am destined for a great reward. You need strength of endurance to reveal the poetry of God's will, and then you receive the promise in full. You see, if you want to receive the promise of God in full, then you've got to hold on to your bold, courageous faith and continue to count it all joy, no matter what may come against you. Because let me tell you, verse 37, it says, for soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. And he also says, my righteous ones will live from my faith, but if fear holds them back, my soul is not content with them. You see, it's all about your faith. Satan is after your faith. But if you will remain joyful, then Satan cannot keep what he stole from you. He has to return it. You see, the joy is an attitude that allows God to work in my life, because joy is demonstrating my trust and my faith in God. In Jeremiah 33, verse number 11, the Bible says, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. Says, man, God says, I'll cause the captives to return because of the voice of joy. And in fact, the New Living Translation says, I will restore the prosperity of this land to what it was in the past. And the Living Bible says, I will make this land happier and more prosperous than it has ever been before. You see, family, if we will remain joyful, even in the midst of your worst onslaught from the enemy, and you can expect Jeremiah 33:11, God will see to it that whatever's been taken from you, it will be restored to you. You see, Satan, he is a thief. He's trying to steal our joy. He's trying to steal our faith. He's trying to steal our money. He's trying to steal our health. He's trying to steal relationships. But if you will not let his attacks to rob you of your joy, then he has to return what he stole 7 times over. So keep your joy. Amen. Why should you be joyful? Because that's what keeps you strong. That's what demonstrates your faith in God. And that's what allows God to work in your life. We see this when Paul and Silas were in jail and they had their feet in the stocks in the Philippian jail in Acts chapter 16. Their legal rights had been violated. They'd been arrested without cause. They'd been beaten without a trial. At midnight, what were they doing? They were singing praises so loud that the other prisoners were listening. They were rejoicing in the Lord. And what happened? A miracle happened. A great breakthrough happened. God came and shook that jail, and all the jail cells flew open, and God delivered them. The next day, they were delivered after leading the warden to Jesus and baptizing him and all of his family. I'm asking you to keep your joy. Life is going to throw you some curves. There's going to be some disappointments, some challenges. Things are not always fair. That's when you've got to say like Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord. You've got to make this decision every morning. I will be joyful today, no matter what difficulties that I may face. I will stay joyful. I will count it pure joy. I will consider this a sheer gift to see what God is going to do, how he's going to turn this test into a testimony, this mess into a message, this battle into a victory. Can you say amen? Pastor Jill gave me the scripture. She was spending time with the Lord yesterday, and she read me the scripture, and I said, man, that works in my message. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 3. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God gives us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ. Even when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your comfort and your salvation. For when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. Then you can patiently endure the same things that we suffer. If we are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. Paul is talking to him. He says, I think you need to know about the trouble that we went through. He said, we were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. And we thought that we would never live through it. We faced so much trouble, we didn't think we were going to make it, man. We didn't think we'd live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. And we learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. See, that's what you've got to do. When you're facing trouble, man, you've got to learn to rely only on God. And he did rescue us from mortal danger. And he will rescue us again.